You're listening to Dose of Depth podcast. I'm your host, Deborah Lukovich, and I invite you to be curious about your unique experience of being human. In this podcast, we'll explore the deeper meaning of ordinary life experiences through conversation, stories, and education. You might have a serious aha moment, or you might just be amused by the movie your life seems to be imitating, or you might just be entertained by one of my awkward stories. I'm hoping you'll become more aware of those moments when a deeper part of you is prompting you to see things differently and maybe even go a new direction. So let's get started. In this episode, I read a blog post I wrote 2 years ago, beginning of 2021. I had survived my first 8 months after leaving my hometown to start a new adventure in Jacksonville Beach. I still had no idea what I was going to do for work, but I had found a little groove. Following your soul's calling is for the brave. Answering the mysterious calling into the unknown requires trusting something other than your mind and conventional beliefs. It can feel terrifying, immoral, irresponsible, and when you feel these things, sometimes it means you're on the right track to discovering something new, something no one else knows. The excitement and sense of purpose makes up for the fear and anxiety. Before I dig into our topic today and read my blog post, I was wondering if you would be willing to support Dose of Depth podcast by becoming a financial supporter for as little as $5 per month. Just click on the little heart on the Dose of Depth logo. And thank you so much for your support. Let's get started. The title of the post is A One-Night Stand with Shame. Before I get to the topic of this post, I want to reflect out loud about what I'm going for with my blog. I think I'm finding my voice, real, awkward, humorous, relevant, and that's exciting for me. Getting this note a few weeks ago made my day. Quote, I usually save your post to savor later, when I'm in a quiet and private space, but I felt compelled to read this one right away. It spoke to me urgently and expressively. Thank you for providing this frank and honest post this morning on the opening of the new year. Written by a listener, a reader named Yvonne. Private and chic. That's how I want my blog to feel. Why chic? Because I'm all about pretty. My spirit combines the quirkiness of Audrey Hepburn, the timeless classic nature of Coco Chanel, and the accidental humor of Mary Tyler Moore. Relaxed and ready to reflect. That's how I want you to feel. Kind of like meeting up with friends for drinks or coffee at your favorite hangout. In fact, go grab a glass of wine, beer, coffee, or even chocolate shake right now. Seriously, go. I'll be here when you get back. Curious. That's what I want you to be. Curious about your super interesting life experience and how it is contributing to the continual unfolding of cosmic consciousness. Willingness to share my most intense and meaningful life experiences, combined with my expertise in and passion for depth psychology, means my blog posts are thoughtful, practical, and real. Back to this post, A One-Night Stand with Shame. As tight as your friend group may be, there is probably at least one secret you've kept from them. Something for which you feel shame, something that you shoved into the repression closet. Repression is a great short-term fix, not so much for the long-term. This post is about shame. Great start to a new year. It turned out taking stock of 2020 would pay off for me. If you read my New Year's Day post, Vacuum Cleaners and Ex-Husbands, Life Lessons, this story picks up there. January 1st of 2021 was a very good day. January 2nd went even better. For 2 weeks, every single day felt amazing. It's true, one day can make all the difference, I told my sister on day 15. I hadn't had this many days of feeling confident and purposeful in years. Interestingly, nothing had changed when it came to my biggest challenge, still no job. I'm so glad, my sister said. She's the best listener ever. I'll put her up against your sister any day. She'll always say, you just need to talk. After I catch myself going on and on. Yay, new neural connections, I proclaimed to a friend on another day. Another week had gone by of feeling great. I had to pinch myself. I knew that the longer my stretch of feeling good lasted, the more I would be able to maintain the momentum. It's not that I had been feeling bad, but my body and brain had gotten used to feeling anxious and insecure over the past couple years. Without any drama to focus on, my body and mind were freaking out. But now I'm back, I thought. I was on fire. I bought a membership to Mindvalley, the cutting-edge online learning platform for human transformation. Ken Honda's course about money intelligence would be my first quest. Then I started the Whole30 program in February. No grains, dairy, alcohol, no sugar for 30 days. Sure, why not? Let's just dive into new habits, I told myself. I had been wondering about the impact of alcohol on my brain chemistry and sleep quality anyway. Hard to say, occasional menopause symptoms makes it impossible to know what works and what doesn't on any given day. Believe it or not, giving up alcohol was the easiest of the four items. My daily piece of toasted sprout bread with butter was the hardest thing to give up. But I was doing it, and my sleeping improved, and my good mood continued. The weekend-long writing retreat in early February was also fantastic, and I was ready for the next phase of memoir writing, turning my second draft into a third draft. Like I said, I was on fire, 57 straight days of feeling fantastic. I only want to feel good now. I feel weird today, I wrote in my journal a few days before the end of February. No, I don't want to go to any of my usual places, I told my sister after the third day of feeling weird. I just feel blah. I like that word, by the way, blah. It perfectly captures what I feel like sometimes. My sister said, well, that's what you do. You hang out for a while and then you find a new place. Well, this was true. I was feeling restless again and sensitive and irritable. Don't judge yourself, I told myself. On day 27 of the 30-day elimination diet, I decided that I was done. I considered it a wild success. The idea was to reintroduce those items back into your diet gradually. Not me. Two glasses of wine on the first day. Yikes. Hangover the next day, including booze depression. Sprout bread toasted with butter on the second day. Yummy, but immediate bloating. Dark chocolate on the third day. That one was okay. What did I learn? Well, I'm a lightweight when it comes to alcohol, and I do not like the way I feel after a two-drink night. Eliminating grains permanently, even gluten-free, was good. Two squares of dark chocolate per day? That's staying. Week one of memoir writing went great. I know what I'm doing now, I excitedly told my sister. My post to the group of the prologue and first chapter received constructive and affirming critiques. But the next week's critiques? Like, we need to know more about the husband and the marriage. Why you stayed for 24 years? The first draft of my memoir was a brain dump of all the juicy details of my first post-divorce romance. The second draft included thoughtful details about the younger man who swept me up after divorce. Now I was needing to share thoughtful details about the man with whom I had spent half my life. Yikes. What to share? How to share? How to honor the relationship with the man who was instrumental in facilitating my growth? Dive in. My unconscious doesn't have much patience for me anymore. It knows I know more than I want to know sometimes. It kindly brought me a dream to nudge me along. It was March 6th. While I slept, this was the dream. There was a huge indoor pool. The water went so deep. I said to the man next to me, I can't imagine being able to hold my breath long enough to go to the bottom. And he grabbed my arm and we jumped in. I went to the bottom and then swam up. The water was so clear. The next morning, I said to my cat, Professor Langley, I need to just feel the way I feel. I grabbed my cat's face, looked him straight in the eye and said, stop resisting. I was talking to myself, of course. Writing about the subtle dynamic that emerged in the early days of my marriage felt like I was starting therapy all over again. I knew there was something new that would come of this. Otherwise, I wouldn't be fighting it. And I'm in my 50s now, so I'm all about living my truth. March 10th, 5 to 8 p.m. Casa Marina is this adorable small historic hotel right on the beach in Jacksonville Beach. I found it a couple weeks after my big move down to Florida. The cosmos are my favorite, and the accompanying ocean view fuels my writing. A memory of something came up. The shame washed over me. I thought I had dealt with that, I told myself. Now it was there, staring me in the face again. I had to give myself permission to write about it. I can edit it, I told myself. No one will see it. Typing it took me right back to that moment when I felt horrified with myself. I guess I hadn't fully dealt with it. One Cosmo, I wrote. A second Cosmo, I wrote some more. Fuck shame, literally. That night, while I slept, I had this dream. My ex-husband and I were standing in a bathroom. We were both naked. He looked at me and said, "What do you want?" I said, "Get in me." And then I said, "I haven't trimmed in a while." Remember, if you think you know what a dream means right away, you're wrong. I didn't know. I knew that my ex-husband was mirroring back a piece of me, and I knew that the sexual part had something to do with becoming intimate with that part of me, but it took me a couple of days to figure it out. 2 days later, I bravely posted two chapters that provided insights into the potential beginning of the subtle dynamic that would grow over 24 years of marriage. It was complex. It was this give and take. No one was clearly to blame for what it grew into. I haven't dreamed this much in so long. That night, while I slept, I had this dream. There was a baby, and just a feeling of going one way or another, a kind of tipping point or pivot point. The next day, in the morning, I laughed when I got it. Get in me! I had to not just accept this intertwining of shame that my husband and I likely shared. I had to have sex with it. I had to be intimate with it. Out of the sexual encounter with my shame would emerge something new. 3 days later, over a glass of Petit Sirah, I know better than to make myself go places that I'm just not into anymore. One day last week, when I was feeling restless, I decided to just drive west to San Marco, which is just out of downtown Jacksonville. Posting House is my new place. Cute little wine bar. In my first dream, the man in the pool was that part of me that knew I could withstand another dive into my depths. This time, the water was very clear. Shame is the hardest thing to overcome, I think. The next dream seemed quite clear about what needed to be done. Now what? What about the baby in the dream? The other day I asked the divine, or the transcendent, or God for you, what is the real purpose of my memoir? It's already evolved since I began this writing journey. Love and compassion were the words I received. Shame serves no productive purpose. Guilt? Yes. Shame? No. My memoir is turning out to be about more than my own inner reconciliation. It's also about the complexity of relations between men and women, between a husband and a wife. I don't know exactly where this is all going, but I trust my inner being's guidance to turn my memoir into something that will be of service to many people. Do you have secrets? What a silly question. Maybe it's not even a secret, just something for which you still feel shame, regret, or embarrassment. Whenever I gain a little belly fat, I know I'm hanging on to something. How about you? During the manic time I was in denial about something not being right in my marriage, I gained 15 pounds for no apparent reason. As soon as I started therapy, the weight started melting off my body. After giving myself 18 months to try to fix my marriage, the final permission to let it go resulted in my getting to my ideal weight. I feel better now. 57 days of feeling fantastic is pretty damn good. Having a little shame transmute into creative energy, words that might help someone else, is an amazing trade-off for a few days of bleh. Try this. Make friends with your anxiety or depression. It's there for contrast, as Esther Hicks says. Anxiety is your cue that something is not quite right. If you're in a situation that doesn't make you happy, don't fret or judge yourself. The situation is there to help you be clearer about what you really want. If you're fighting your anxiety, you're fighting the truth about yourself. The truth can suck at first, but then it does set you free. Listen to your body. Whatever you are in denial about will show up in your body. Extra weight is the most obvious. Have you fallen recently? Have you been suffering from a pain in your neck? Ask your aches and pains what they're trying to tell you. Sometimes the metaphor is obvious and humorous. Pay attention to your dreams. It can be difficult to find the meaning in a single dream. However, themes and patterns emerge over time. The more you pay attention to your dreams, the quicker you can decode the message. Need some Dr. Deborah time? Feeling a little anxious and uncertain in a world that is going through a reckoning? Looking for meaning or a renewed sense of purpose? It's not only individuals that self-actualize or individuate. Are you part of the 20% prompting a jump in human consciousness? Send me a note if you'd like to explore whether depth psychology coaching is for you. Some resources. I'm on a mission to get more people to self-reflect and explore their inner world, which is the only way to change our outer world. Here are some resources to help you explore your inner world. In my book, Your Soul is Talking, Are You Listening? 5 Steps to Uncovering Your Hidden Purpose, I teach the language of the unconscious, and I expand on this framework for exploring your inner world. You're already enjoying my podcast today. If you haven't, go back and listen to prior episodes. In fact, I read each chapter from my soul book on my podcast. Be entertained and inspired by my blog posts, which are all inspired by my midlife journey. You can get to my blog post by visiting deborahlukovich.com. Join my Soul Talk members-only subscription program. A small monthly contribution of $10 supports my mission to get my framework for self-reflection to more people and gets you access to monthly live Zoom calls. The next one is coming up in June, June 22nd. Follow me on Instagram. My tag is at DLukovich to get reflection questions and other inspiring posts and updates on what I'm up to, or engage with my 4,500 Twitter followers on almost daily reflection questions. As always, thank you for your support and for having the courage to explore your inner world. Until next time. I'm your host, Deborah Lukovich, and you are listening to Dose of Depth podcast. To get updates on new episodes, my writing, and how I teach my clients to get to know that deeper part of themselves, go to deborahlukovich.com. Oh, and if you're not ready for a coach, learn what my clients know in my book, Your Soul is Talking, Are You Listening? 5 Steps to Uncovering Your Hidden Purpose. You can check it out on my website or get it on Amazon.